It's good to be here, isn't it? Brother Royce mentioned about what it was to follow Brother J.C. How'd you like to follow two of them? But I do know the same Lord anointed them. If He's pleased, He can help us. It's good to be here. Appreciate Brother Dan and the church and all the hospitality, all the good singing, as Brother Roger has led us, and then these special numbers. What a blessing it is to come together in a conference like we have had in these past days. As Brother Dan mentioned, that our text will conclude the 8th chapter of Romans. And the last question that is asked of these four that Brother Royce mentioned, as we read from verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Inseparable love of God. He loves us. He has loved us eternity past. He loved us in sending His Son. He loved us when He called us out of darkness to His marvelous light. And He shall always love us. Even now, His love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, when we begin to think who, and then, of course, we're going to see some things mentioned too, and we will notice verse 37 mentioned these things. So the apostle is not on by the Spirit. It's not just thinking about who as a creature or a person. But he knew, and we will see from God's Word, that he experienced many things. If it were possible, probably would overcome. But I'm thankful we will find out that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I want us to understand this. I trust I'm looking at it right. It's the question could be asked, is it our love to Christ or His love to us? Now, we know that we are to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, might. We certainly know He's commanded us, and rightly so. But I believe if we are looking at it in the context in which we are looking at it, it's because of God's love and power that we are preserved. Our love is for our Lord will certainly help and must, and without it, we couldn't persevere. I mean, we would be helpless. So the apostle then is not only note the love of Christ, but the love of God and Christ throughout this context that we're going to be looking at. And I certainly believe it's designed to strengthen the faith of God's people and to comfort their souls under various afflictions that we may have as we go through this life. John, in 1 John 3:1, he said, "Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Then over in the 4th chapter of that same little book of 1 John, he said, "In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent forth his only begotten Son into the world, that we might have life through him." Then, and on down the next verse, says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins," as we just heard. Then over in the down in the 19th verse, in this same little book of 1 John chapter 4, "We love him because he first loved us." Oh, how precious it is to think how he loved us. And how precious it is for us to consider the inseparable love of God. Romans 5:5 tells us that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We hear our Lord while he was here on earth saying, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gaveth them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." A loving Father with loving hands. And what a blessing, I guess, it's the only word I can come up with at this thought, to be in his hands and to be loved of him. All right, we notice some things that the apostle mentioned. The first he mentioned here to us, after asking such a question, he said, "Shall tribulation, afflictions, pressure, trouble," we know as Job 14 tells us, "a man that's born of woman, a few days and full of trouble." So trouble we can expect. This great servant that God used to pen this infallible word that we are looking at and been studying on here, even at during the time of his conversion, you remember Ananias was being prepared to go talk to him, and he was told that he would show him, Saul or Paul, how great things he must suffer for his sake. And we know we have many records. So if there's anyone that the Lord could use to pen words like we are considering, it's this Apostle Paul, because he experienced these things. Not only he, we find others as we read through the Word of God. Peter and John, here they are being told by a council to not to preach any longer in the name of Jesus. And of course, having many stripes laid on them, and commanded them. We are told in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer the shame for his name, the name of Christ. That they was rejoicing even though they were suffering in the name of Christ. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, chapter 1, verse 29, he told them and us too, "For unto you it's given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. It's been given to God's people. But yet, can that separate us from the love of Christ? We hear the apostle again to the church at Corinth. He said, "Whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. For whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation." So we see tribulation certainly cannot separate us from the love of God. Distress is mentioned, whether in body or whether in mind. And I know we are in a fallen body. We never know what condition we may be in, how much distress may come our way. And I can think of brethren that stood right here and preached in years past, going through some tough times now. But one thing we know, that the Lord abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And if we believe not, even he said, he still, but I mean, if we get, if our minds are these carnal, finite minds get to the place in distress, yet I'm thankful that God's word is telling us that distress cannot separate us from the love of God. Persecutions, especially from the world, we know this could be a great evidence to us how that he loves us and chose us and called us, because the world hates us. The Lord said that in John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. I mean, we in good company, aren't we? To know that they hated the Lord, and even say, crucify him, give us Barabbas, away with him. 1 John 3:13 tells us, marvel not, brethren, if the world hates you. Don't marvel. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all that lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. So let persecution come, knowing that it can't separate us from the love of God. Then we have our mention here about famine. The necessities of life, food, drink, being exposed to hunger and thirst, in which God has so far exempt us. But I want us to know, as many of God's people has went through many times for something to satisfy their physical hunger and thirst. And it's been a lot of many of God's children. And oh, how blessed we are. But talking about famine, and of course we see the abundance and the time. We don't know what we may face before we leave this walks of life. But one thing about it, if famine comes and shortage of food and necessity, that we still have the love of Christ. But I tell you one thing, a famine that we are experiencing, Amos 8:11 tells us about, that day should come, says the Lord God, that I'd send a famine in the land, not of bread and thirst of water, but for the hearing of the word of God. Now, but that still wouldn't separate us from the love of God. Nakedness, the want of probably proper clothing. Something probably we've never experienced. But this is was a common thing for the apparel and the want. We are told in the scriptures there's many wandered in sheepskin and goatskins. And this has been the case of many, no doubt. But yet there's no proof of the separation from the love of Christ on pearls. The Apostle Paul mentioned several, and this is something that of danger, and seeing how it has come in many different ways. And I'm sure you're familiar with the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul mentioned several of these. And certain, as I said, if anyone that had the experience, and as the Spirit of God gave him these scriptures to write back to this church at Rome and us today, he had the experience, and he's mentioned some of them. And he even mentioned he's been put in prison oft. And seeing that he was even of the Jews, he said five times he's received 40 stripes, save one. He went ahead and said, twice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I was in the deep. Then he said, in journeying off, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathens, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weakness, in painfulness, in watching off, in hunger and thirst, in fastings off, in cold, in nakedness. Now there's many things. How good the Lord's been to us. And then he said, besides these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of the churches. Oh, how the burden to keep on in spite of all the things he had to deal with. The love of Christ sustained him. It never did depart from him. He mentioned the sword. And we know even at this very time that some dear saints of God could be experiencing the sword. But we are told in the scriptures about some. We are told about the death of James, the brother John, in Acts 12:2. We are told about John the Baptist. And though that could separate, and we know it does, the head from the body, separate the soul from the body, yet it cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Oh, how precious. We are told even in the Old Testament, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that great chapter of heroes of faith, as we call them. And certainly there's many that receive great blessings. But in the 35th verse, it talks about some women receiving their dead raised to life. But it said also others was tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. Then he said, and others had trials of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, and moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawed asunder, was tempted and slain with a sword, and wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented. He said, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves and earth. Being God's children, not only they lived by faith, but all these things they endured did not separate them from the love of Christ, the love of God. The 36th verse, as we move on down, and must move quickly, it said, as it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Right. And of course, he was quoting Psalms 44:22, word by word. And we notice that this condition of the saints in the days of the psalmist, and And then the early first century, and since that time, a time of Paul, and then that's how we are recognized as God's people. As I said, sometimes when we look at scriptures like this, it's hard for us to relate because God's mercy and providence has blessed us so greatly, but yet that's the way God's people has been down through time. And he just mentioned this, saying, hey, this is what we can expect. We are sheep, and we can be killed all the day long. We are counted for the slaughter. But yet we notice he replied and said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now these is many things, and we could dwell on them and find many more, but oh, thank God that he said, look, this notwithstanding that the severe pressures, the trials that we may go through, in all of these things may come our way, but being able to endure them and knowing that the Lord is love is upon us, his love, his power, he, the presence of the Holy Spirit, we know that we are more than conquerors. We gain not only the victory, but we are more than conquerors. Not just to overcome us and being left, but that gives us confidence and knowing that we it does not produce in any way apostasy in any way. Why? Because this love is of the Lord, is our security. This is it. You know, after Brother Dan called me and asked me to take this portion of the scriptures, and I knew it was there. We all read it over and over. And we always think about being kept by the power of God. But oh, what a blessing it's been to meditate upon that unsuppable love. This love, regardless what we may go through, that it cannot separate us from the love of God. We are victors over these things. I mean, regardless of what they may come. I know it may, when it comes, it may seem more difficult, but let us look to the one that loves us. Let us continue to look to him, that they can't destroy our faith and our love. It can't be stopped. It can't remove our blessed hope we have. And it's a victory. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through him. Don't think we can do it in ourselves. Oh, it's him. Not in our strength, but through him that loved us. Not what we might do, but what he's done and what he's doing and what he shall continue. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Yes. Not in ourselves, but thank God for that inner strength, that love that's bestowed upon us as children of God. Talking about victory, and of course it's been mentioned, but when we really want to see the victory, we think about when this climax, this thing comes, when the Lord comes again, and how death can be mocked. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, through him. I don't know probably all that's in this verse, but it means something to me. That little book of Jude, that 24th verse. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, all to be presented before the presence of the Lord. It's all because of the love of Christ. He loved us. And that's why he could come and say, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, or things present, nor things to come can separate us from the love of the Lord. Let's just look at these. I'm persuaded. I have a strong, unwavering confidence, he could say. I'm certain about this thing. Ain't no questions about it. He's saying it's unwaveringly certain. I mean, it shouldn't. Even death. And I couldn't keep from sitting where we've been sitting and think of the ones used to sit in front of us. And this non-death has already come to them and been promoted on in the presence of the Lord. And it does separate us, mankind from this world and habitation structures. We know that it separates soul and body and from loved ones to loved ones and friends to another. And in process of time, it might be even the thoughts and affections that we had for our departed one. It may not ever cross our mind. But one thing about it, death cannot separate us from the love of God. Oh, life. Now, life has many challenges. And we know natural temporal life and, of course, the love of God is better than life. We know that. But, you know, in life, there's many things that troublesome times and things may come, but yet they cannot separate us from the love of Christ, nor angels. Now, this certainly is not the elect angels. We know they got a mission here for God's people. But we look at this kind of as the fallen angels or the demons or what may ever come, the devil and all of his forces. And we know that they attempt to. I mean, if they had their way about it, well, we'd be separated immediately after God works a work in our hearts and lives. But we do rejoice in knowing that they cannot succeed. Why? Because of the love of Christ. Because we are in his hands. We are on the rock. His love is shed abroad in us by the Holy Spirit. And even the demons and all the powers that comes is not able. Think about the good angels or the elect angels that Hebrews tells us about in Hebrews 14. Ministering spirit sent forth to minister for them who should be heirs of salvation. Thank God for them. So with the love of God and all that the Lord has for us and all that he will allow them to do for us and even to no doubt to bring us into his presence someday, I'm thankful that the wicked ones cannot overcome principalities. Of course, this is certainly mentioned many times as magistrates or civil rulers that we might apply this. But also, that also could be of the demonic power. Because when in Ephesians 6, where the apostle was talking about that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why we need the whole armor of God with the love of the Lord upon us. Can't separate us, nor powers. And certainly, they cannot overcome us because he loves us. Because he loves us. Nor things present. calamities and persecutions, and certainly we know we're subject to them, but can't separate us. Nor are things to come, trials, never know what's going to be on tomorrow, but we know who holds it. We know that His love will still sustain us as we go and face these things. They cannot destroy. Goes ahead and said, nor heights or depths or any other creature are able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now these heights, I don't know. We could, no doubt, it might be that sometimes man may be exalted in positions, honor, wealth. Some of God's children has been exalted in high ranks and offices. But one thing about it, we never could get too high in this life that God's love is still not there. That don't separate us. For a real child of God, regardless of positions that we may be in or ever get in, the love of God is still there. Same way with depths, the lowest places we may be placed. I mean, in poverty. I mean, it not having anything, no health, no ranking in life whatsoever. His love is still present. Can't be separated. Then he said, nor any other creature. He said, us just tied all together. No created thing can, in this universe, regardless where they may be, and I know we are blessed then and have been about demonic powers. Of course, we see the Eastern world coming in, and we see more demonic power being made manifest among us. You don't believe it, just stand on the street corner and watch. But even any creature is not able to separate us from the love of Christ. That's because He continues to love us. Shall be able. The love which is that He loves us. And He gives us this assurance. All right, now, we must hurry and conclude here. Notice again, which is in Christ Jesus. Which is produced, which is secured by His work. He's the one that bonds it together. He's the connecting link. And it was caused by His work, by Him accomplishing the things that we've heard about in this conference. It is through Him and Him alone that this love is manifest, that of the love of God. There is no true love of God which is not produced by the work of Christ. That it's all honored to Him. There's no man who truly loves the Father who does not do it by the Son, through what the Son has done for us. When Paul was brought before Nero, or maybe shortly before, he told Timothy that at my first answer, no man stood with me. He was forsaken, but all men forsook me. Then he could pray, I pray God that this be not laid to their charge. Oh, what a heart this man had. But all forsook him. But now listen what he said next. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthen me that by my preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the hand of the mouth of the lion. Oh, thank God that he kept persevering on, kept on trusting in that love that he said cannot be separated. That we cannot be separated from. And nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, the love which God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No condemnation, no separation, no more wrath, but eternal glory. Such is the salvation of God. This is the Lord. I hear the apostle saying again as he was writing to Timothy, wherein I've suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God's not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also attain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This will keep us going, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you.